भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 70, Text 29. Tanno bhavam pramata soka harangri jugmo.
Tanno bhavam pramata soka harangri jugmo.
Bhadam viyumtsva magara vaya karma pasa. Gajaviryameko
Yohu Mujoy Savatangajaviryameko
Vibrat Rurodhavane Mrigarat Ivavi
Vibrat Rurodhavane Mrigarat
Ivavi Tat
Therefore
Na
Us
Bhavan
Yogutsav
Pranaka
of those who have surrendered
Shoka
the sorrows
Hara
which remove
Angri
of feet
Yugma
whose hair
Baran
bound
Viyungshva
please release
Magadha Advaya going by the name Magadha
Karma
of fruitive work
Asat
from the fetters
Ya
who
Bhumuja
kings
Ayuta
10,000
Matam
madden
Gaja
elephants
Viryam
prowess
Eka
alone
Vibrat
wielding
Rurodha
imprisoned
Bhavane
in his residence
Mrigarat
the lion
King of the animals.
Iva,
just as.
Avi,
sheep.
Translation. Therefore, since your feet relieve the sorrow of those who surrender to them, please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma, manifest as the king of Magadha, wielding alone the prowess of 10,000 maddened elephants. He has locked us up in his house just as a lion captures sheep. Translation, please repeat. Therefore,
since
your feet relieve the sorrow of those who surrender to them, please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma.
Please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma.
Manifest as the king of Magadha.
Manifest as the king of Magadha.
Wielding alone the prowess of 10,000 maddened elephants.
Wielding alone the prowess of 10,000 maddened elephants.
He has locked us up in his house just as a lion captures sheep.
He has locked us up in his house just as a lion captures sheep.
Purport. The kings here pray for the Lord to release them from the bondage of karma created by the Lord's material potency. The kings make it clear that Jarasandha is so powerful that there is no hope for them to escape by their own power. Translation, therefore, since your feet relieve the sorrow of those who surrender them, please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma manifest as the king of Magadha. Wielding alone the power of 10,000 maddened elephants, he has locked us up in his house just as a lion captures sheep. So, we kings now come to a position of totally depending on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. At this point, they're completely surrendered to Krishna. They're begging Krishna to save them. And they're realizing now that this is due to their own karma. To take someone who is somewhat advanced in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life, to understand that things are happening due to their own activities. Generally, people in the world, they want to blame everyone else for their situation. They don't take any responsibility for this situation. Practically, it is becoming a society like that, no blame society, especially in Australia, America, many of the Western countries of the world. They're thinking in this way. Therefore, they want to, something goes wrong, they accuse this or that or the other thing that is their fault, and they want to try to take some revenge on that person or the situation. So this is due to ignorance that they're thinking. It may be that someone is causing some problem or there's some natural disturbance, but why you are suffering? Because you are getting your reaction, just as the kings are realizing. First of all, we were reading that the kings were confused. We have been very pious kings. Jarasandha was very mean and cruel, conquering so many others. How is it that he is enjoying and we are suffering? He has imprisoned us and he is enjoying like anything. So they were confused. They couldn't understand. But we have to realize that the karma of each living entity goes back so many lives. So now they may have been doing good works, but somewhere, either in this life or the last life or so many lives ago, they did something, they have to get a bad reaction. So they're realizing, the kings are realizing their position now, and we are getting our karma. We are imprisoned, and our karma is coming in the form of Jarasandha. At this point, they're not even blaming Jarasandha. They're just thinking, here is our karma, and this is the person that is carrying our karma. So this is advanced understanding. This person is carrying, we can get reaction from, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhyayivika. We get reaction in so many ways from the nature, from our own mind, from other living entities' reactions. So in so many ways, now when something happens by nature, that is our, we are suffering the flood or we are suffering the drought. Just like here in Australia, they're suffering from the drought. And so many countries also suffering from drought, other places suffering from flood, other places suffering earthquake, tsunami, volcano. In Indonesia, we were just in Indonesia, some big volcano erupted. So everywhere you go, there's some reaction coming. So one can blame, so many things. Even for natural disturbances, they are trying to attribute the different causes. Just like I read a report that finally realizing that the cutting down of so many trees in the outback of Australia has really exacerbated the position of the drought. In the early settlers of this country came, and they would go to the big forests and the big trees and cutting down just for making money from the wood. And also in Indonesia, we were just in Indonesia, in Kalimantan, which formerly Borneo. They're cutting so many trees in the forest in South America. They say the people are taking so much making so much fuel from the oil and fossil fuel, taking and using, consuming so much. There's now reaction. We're using and exploiting the resources
illegitimately,
not according to as indicated and directed in the various shastras how the human being should live. They're exploiting, they're very greedy, so on and so forth. We're consuming so much. I was just reading an article, even one jumbo jet, you know how much fuel just for one jumbo jet to take off, how much fuel it uses, just to take off, just for the jumbo jet to take off, how much fuel do you think it uses? 16 tons of fuel. 16 tons of fuel, you can run 6 family cars for a year on the fuel the jumbo jet takes just to take off. But we have to have the jumbo jets because people have got so much important business flying all over the world. But what are they doing? They are going for the materialistic things, they are just going for the sense gratification. And then to do all this, they are exploiting the resources of the world illegitimately. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time he said, if we're going to have any conveniences, then only the devotees should use them. Because they are doing God's work. If we are going to have motive, and he said, I'm not saying we should have the motive, but if we are going to, then only the devotees should use it. Others don't use. If we're going to have the plane, then only the devotee should use. The plane should be just full of the devotee. No other people should be going there. Because only the devotee is doing the God's work. He went so far to say that. So, but still the people, they're so impassioned to enjoy in the world in so many different ways. They have to use the resources. Popeye came here, he said, these big cities, he said, they're big skyscrapers, it takes so much energy to keep everything going. And now they're thinking how we will get the water to, now because of drought, we haven't got enough water. Before, when I was growing up, we weren't even thinking about water, it was just all the time. Now you can't even water your lawn, you can't put the water on the grass. One fellow in Sydney, I read one story that he was watering and some other one complained, you can't water now, they put the restriction on. Oh, it's all right, they're fighting. The people are fighting over these things. So these things, the reactions come from these types of activities. So someone who's advanced, he sees, this is my karma coming in the form of these things. I am experiencing the drought, I am experiencing the flood, I am experiencing... Or if it's coming from someone else, you were just walking and someone came and said something or did something, he is at fault, but still the advanced person sees that this is my karma coming in the form of this person, the form of the nature, in the form of this person. Or if you've got trouble with your mind, so someone is born their whole life, they have no mental problem, relatively, they are just going, their mind doesn't get... Someone else, the whole life, there's anxiety, distress, depressed, they have to go for treatment, all these things, for the mental problem. That is the karma. The karma is coming in the form of my mental problems. Because you acted in such a way before, that you have to get these things. So the kings have advanced understanding now. Our karma is coming in the form of Jarasandha. All the time. You get your individual karma and you get collective karma. All the kings together have to get their karma together. Here is mentioned that this is being organized under the auspices of nature, working under Krishna, as Paramatma is directing everything, but through nature. It is coming, either from other entities through the natural disturbance or the mind, the body is there, the mind is there. So somehow or other it is going on under nature. And of course it is Krishna's nature. So this should be our understanding. Even though we may not be 100% at the moment, where we're trying to be 100% fixed in Krishna conscious devotional service to the Supreme Personality. But maybe but at least we should try to understand philosophically these points about what is the karma. Here, also the kings say, now, we are getting our karma, there's no escaping the karma. The karma has come in the form of Jarasandha. He is like 10,000 maddened elephants. And who, you know, he is like a lion who is just captures the sheep. What possibility has the sheep got against the lion? It's not possible. You ever see a sheep defeat a lion? Or even think about defeating a lion? Not possible. So when the karma comes, it's not possible. You have to get your karma. You cannot avoid it. Your karma must come. Now the kings are saying that we cannot overcome. The karma comes. Someone may think, well, let me overcome. But you cannot. It must come. And the kings realize we cannot overcome Jarasandha. Therefore we are surrendering to you. Only you can do something in this situation. So they are appealing directly to Krishna. And Krishna, his strength is unlimited. His power is unlimited. Jarasandha may be very strong. And just like I was saying yesterday, you know, the night, the dark may be very powerful, all pervading. But when the sun comes up, immediately it's gone, just like that. So when Krishna comes, then all these things cannot stand. The karma goes far away. So they are appealing to Krishna. Please save us. Please release us from the shackles of karma. The shackles. When someone is taken in a prisoner, sometimes they put in the shackles. And when you put in the shackles, you can't escape. Not possible. So I was remembering Kechit Kavalaya Bhakta Vasudeva Parayana Agamdan Mantikasneya Niyaram Ivavaskara. There's one verse in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, only this person can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So here, this is explained very nicely. Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikit about what is the position of devotional service. Generally, the people, the karma, is so strong, there's no possibility. Everyone gets their karma. But here Sukadeva Goswami says that if you discharge devotional service, and especially he says pure unalloyed devotional service, Anyabilasara Sunyan Gyani Kamana Rambita Anukulena Krishna Silan Bhakti Uttama, one should render transcendental service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, without desire for the material profit or the gain through the prudent activities or the philosophical speculation. So this is the topmost devotion service. Free from the karma and the jnana, the desire for the fruity results or the desire for knowledge of the world or so. This is called the pure devotion service. So especially if one is always striving for pure devotion service, then there's no question of that. The karma will just go far away. But Sukadeva Goswami, in Prabhupada, explains very nicely here that even if someone is not on the level of pure devotional service, even if one is just engaged in devotional service, he's endeavoring to become pure in his devotional service. He's endeavoring. He hasn't reached yet. Still, even that person, the reactions to the sinful activities go far away. Even that person. When one renders pure devotional service, automatically they go far away. But not only that, what is the added feature of pure devotion? One actually starts to develop love of God. Very very strongly. Whereas in the beginning, you're engaged in devotional service, the sinful reactions go. But your love of God is still, you know, needs to become manifest more, and it'll become manifest more when you come to the pure level of devotional service. You'll develop love of God. In the beginning, the love of God will be still a little bit unmanifest. But as you mature, as you develop, as you become more and more pure in your service, the love of God. So this is the real benefit of pure devotional service. And in pure devotion, automatically the karma. But even if you're just doing a little bit of devotional service, the karma. Now here, Prabhupada explained very nicely about all the different stages of the karma. Now, Prabhupada explains that, Sukadeva Goswami says, he gives the example of dry leaves of creepers lying beneath the tree. Sometimes a fire will come and burn the leaves. But the leaves of the creeper means the roots are in the ground. So if the fire comes, burns the leaves, then after the leaves will grow again because the roots are still. So even if one performs prayaschitta to try to do atonement to gain release from reactions to sinful activities, one may do the atonement and nullify reactions. In the Shastras, especially in the Dharma Shastras, there's all sorts of atonements. If someone does this sinful activity, then if you do this, that will nullify that. Another sinful activity in the Shastras is said that if you do this activity, it will nullify the other. So that will nullify. It's just like the fire burns the leaves. But here, Prabhupada explains, but still the roots are there. The roots of the creeper. So then the leaves will grow again. So the roots means the desire for the sinful activities still within our heart. We do the prayaschitta, so we did the sinful activity, we have to get the karma, but we want to be free from the karma, so we do prayaschitta. What can we do to overcome? Do this, do this, do the other thing. But still, we do that, you go, and then again you will do the thing, because of the desire still in the heart. So he properly explains it. The sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart by a person who is he thinks he can destroy it by just cultivating knowledge. What is needed is engagement in devotional service. Sreya Sritam Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Krishyanti Yekevala Bhoda Labdaye. Someone engaged in mental speculation, jnana, without engaging in devotional service, will never be able to free oneself fully. Will be always prone to materialistic activities again and again and again and again. They become implicated. They act in one way, they become implicated in fruitive activities and the reactions to fruitive activities. But on the other hand, the bhakti, devotional service, and Vasudeva Parayana, surrendering completely to Krishna, totally relieves one from all the reactions of sinful activities in all the stages of karma. Now, karma is described here very nicely by Srila Prabhupada as being in different categories. Here he says, pataka, mahapataka, atipataka, parabdha, aparabdha. Now, parabdha means sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the moment. So we are getting some new reaction, we are suffering now. So that is parabdha. And aparabdha refers to potential suffering. We have performed some activity, in the past, now we're suffering now, or we are going to suffer in the future. That karma has yet to come. So this is called aparamita. So these are unseen. They are in the form of bija, seeds. and they're going to come in the future. No one can trace practically. In fact, no one can trace when that seed was planted, the seed of the sinful reaction, because you've had so many lives in the world. So many lives. Well, where from this reaction is coming, from this life, that life, the other life. Who knows which life? Krishna knows. God knows. But who else can trace? With so many lives, maybe so many lives ago, which part of the life you did that activity and now you're getting the reaction. No one can trace these things. It's impossible to trace. Unseen. And Prabhupada goes so far as to say they are unseen, and these bijas or seeds, they are unlimited. They are unlimited. Because it is the word to describe that there's a lot of them. A lot of seeds, of a lot of activities where you have to get your karma, your reactions. So, of course, now the parabdha, the reactions we are getting now can be seen, I was describing yesterday, just like someone can be, takes birth in either a good family or not so good family, or have wealth or not have wealth, have beauty or not have beauty, be very learned. These are reactions we're getting now. But here it is described by Prabhupada that when one takes to the devotional service, all the phases of the sinful reactions, parabdha, aparabdha, bija seeds, they're all vanquished. Whereas prayaschitta, atonement, maybe some current reactions are alleviated, but the seeds are still there from the past life. But by devotional service, yatagni susamridachi karot yadamsi basmasat tatha bhavishaya bhakti udhavainamsi krishnasa. By dear Uddhava, Krishna says, devotional service is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of the sinful activity supplied to it. So, all the phases of the reactions are completely destroyed. Seeds, future reactions, current reactions, all are destroyed by devotion. Now, what level of devotional service are the sinful reactions eradicated? Now, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami. He says that bhakti can be divided into different divisions. Santata, which is like a Raghunga, continuous devotional service. More the Vaidhi Bhakti, but here it's called Kadachitti. We're rendering devotional service not continuously, not on the highest day, but intermittently we are rendering devotional service. And, on the higher levels, continuous devotional service, some are very high, very spontaneous love of God, some have a slight attachment. And on the Vaidhi Bhakti, someone is just beginning, someone is just has a slight glimpse even of devotional service. Here it's called Abhasa Rupa Bhakti. Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, a slight glimpse of devotional service. Even if you just have a slight glimpse of devotion, just a little bit of devotional service, then there's no need of prayaschitta. You did the sinful reaction, you did prayaschitta, actions to nullify the sinful reaction. No need, just a slight glimpse of devotional service automatically will be better than prayaschitta. Not only that, even in the stage of abhasa rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. So even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all the phases of sinful reactions are gone. So those of us who are rendering devotional service,
Well, the reactions are gone.
So it's how is it that we see we're getting reactions? This Krishna is giving. Now he was describing this yesterday. Because now we are devotees, we are coming under the direct control of Krishna. So sometimes to keep us on the path of devotional service, we may be going here or there, maybe not staying on the path. Krishna gives us some things for our betterment in on the path of devotional service. So one time here in Melbourne, Prabhupada was asked a question by Chiru, actually. I remember that he said, Prabhupada, you see sometimes devotees, they come to Krishna consciousness, but then after they go away again and get engaged in materialistic activities. Why is that like that? Prabhupada said, that is due to their bad habits from before. Their bad habits, he said. Are they getting reacted to a karma problem? No, not karma. Karma is gone by the devotee. But bad habits, you are remembering your bad habits, and then you're thinking, let me try again, so then you do. And then your bad habits, of course, may lead you into material life, and leaving Krishna consciousness, you engage in material life, you may create some karma again. Understand? And you again go on the path of karma and reactions to karma and all this type of activity. So why is it that they you to bad? So Prabhupada said, therefore, we are training the devotees to swap bad habit for the good habit. And why have I made all these temples, he said? Well, I ask the devotee, you get up early in the morning, you come to the Mangal Aarti, you are chanting your rounds, you are attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you're following the regulative principles, you are doing so much service for Krishna. These are all very good habits. But when you have very good habit, and then you are going, progressing on the path of the devotional service, you are getting a taste, then you will not want to remember the bad habits. You will forget the bad habits. But one has to constantly be engaged in the good habit. And then automatically the bad habit. So the bad habit is, from your remembering, may take you again. And then when you go, and if you leave completely the shelter of Krishna, again you are under the jurisdiction of getting some karma. That may be. But it is not due to karma that you are leaving devotional service. Someone may think like that. Oh, is it my karma? Maybe I should just surrender to my karma. Just like, sometimes devotees, they get their their chart, what is their karma and everything like that, what is meant to happen to them. No mobile phones allowed here in the temple. So they are seeing. Now, the horoscope. I call it the horoscope. But anyway. Anyway, that, what is that? You're seeing what is your karma. And what is your previous karma? That was meant to happen to you. But of course, if one comes to Krishna consciousness, then that karma is alleviated. Sometimes the influence may be there. But we should know the actual result of that karma is actually gone. Maybe influence. We should understand that. One devotee came to me and said, actually he was moving one place to the other place, So many times in one year he moved like 12 times or something. I said, why are you moving so many times one place to the other? Oh, well, I don't know, I'm restless. My chart says that I'm supposed to move this year, so I just surrendered to it. He said like that. I did my chart, and this year it said that I'm supposed to move so many times. So I guess. No, the influence may be pushing, may be there on the path that was supposed to. But you're devoted. You don't have to worry these things. Krishna, in a moment, can be finished. I remember I was in Trivandrum, and Padmanabha Swami Temple. I was there, and I met one devotee, congregation devotee. He is a very expert astrologer, and some devotees were listening. And the devotee said, "Oh, Maharaj, this is such and such. Oh, he is very expert. He is doing all the charts of the Brahmanas here in the temple. He is devotee." I was just joking. "Oh, you're doing the chart. Maybe you should do my chart as such," I said. And he said that. He said, "Oh, I don't do any charts for the sannyasi." because the sannyasi, they are under God. What is the use of it? He said, I won't do that. They are under God. That I can give, but then if something doesn't happen, they will blame me. And I know, because God can change anything as He likes. He can change everything. So we have to understand properly. Not that, oh, we are doing these things. Some are so, and you know, they get the minute by minute chart. And every day they plan, "Oh, today," or they're like that. All these things are going to happen today. You can get like that. But we have to understand that it's very clearly explained by Srila Prabhupada. Even Abhasa Rupa, this slight glimpse of the devotional service, eradicates all the phases of the karma. You know, the current reactions, the future, and even those in seeds unseen. All those things are gone, even by a slight. Now, if one can come to the Radha Nuga, then, oh, the love of God, as I said, can come. And now, in the next verse, Nātata Yagavan Rāja, my dear king, Krishna is, Sukadeva is, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord, thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, or other methods of atonement that I have previously described. And the path followed by pure devotees who are well behaved and fully endowed with the best qualifications is certainly the most auspicious path in this material world. It is free from fear and is authorized by the Shastras. And Prabhupada, one who has unflinching devotion to the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. So this is intelligent. We have to be intelligent. And the kings we see here, they are very intelligent. They are surrendering to Krishna. They think Jarasandha is coming. This is our karma. What can we do? We are just like Draupadi. Draupadi was pulled into the assembly, and Dushasan was pulling on her sari, disrobing. He tried to hold, but then surrendered to Krishna. Krishna just supplied unlimited sari. So this is our position. Whatever our karma, what can we do? Karma, we are devotees, we are under Krishna. If Krishna wants to give us some reaction for something, Krishna wants to do something else, a devotee has to learn how to surrender to Krishna. Be the instrument in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the attitude of advanced devotee. As God wants, I will try to do like that. And then you will be happy. You'll see. You will be happy. You will have no cares in this world. You will live in the world, you will do your duty, you will render devotional service, and the goings on of the world, you will be unaffected. Not that you will be oblivious, you will see what is happening. You will be unaffected, not only unaffected, but you will try to help others come to this realization of
themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of God. So the kings, they are surrendering to the lotus. Surrendering to the lotus feet means we are surrendering and taking shelter of Krishna and surrendering and following his instruction. This is the meaning of surrendering to the lotus feet. We surrender to the lotus feet of the Guru. One time one devotee asked me like that, and the Shastras describe, why lotus feet? Sometimes very hard. What is the significance of the lotus feet? It's significant in many ways. When you surrender to the feet, you bow down to the feet, you are completely surrendered. You bow to the feet of someone, you are in the most vulnerable position, but you are choosing to bow to the feet. Whatever that person wants to do, if he wants to kick you even, he can do it. This is your attitude, is like that. This unconditional surrender. Not conditional. I want to bow from a distance, I will bow. I want to bow right at your feet. We have to try to develop unconditional surrender. Not I come to Krishna with a few conditions. You have to give me this, and then I will. Oh, Krishna, I didn't see anything coming from you, is that why I have to give to you? We have so many conditions we want to put. But you can, at least you're coming to Krishna. But the best is unconditional. Then you're fully Krishna, under Krishna. And so, you bow to the feet, following the instructions is also surrendering to the lotus feet. Taking shelter is also considered surrendering to the lotus feet. You take shelter, you are dependent on Krishna, the Guru. It was mentioned here, one who follows the path of the pure devotees. If one surrenders to Krishna, one surrenders to the representative of Krishna. Generally, people in the world, they're never going to be free from their karma. They're never going to be free from their actions in the world. One action leads to further reaction, which leads to further... karma is very complicated. It's so binding. So binding, you'll never be free. Never. But one who surrenders to Krishna, one who surrenders to the devotee of Krishna, can cut through. The karma is just like a knot, but if the devotee of the Lord comes with a sword and cuts through the knot, then just immediately you're released. If you try yourself to undo the knot, but if the devotee cuts it with the sword of the knowledge, with the sword of the devotional service, immediately you're free. And you're free from the karma, then that is free means to now pursue the path of devotional service. Not that we're like the elephant who takes the bath and then comes out and rolls in the mud again. In other words, we come to devotional service, we become free, and then we engage in the sense gratification again. Now, that is, we have to try to continuously. Without indulging again in sense gratification, just try to surrender to Krishna, surrender to the pure devotee. Alright, so I'll read this verse again if anyone has any questions. Therefore, since your feet relieve the sorrow of those who surrender to you, please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma manifest as the king of Magadha. Wielding alone the prowess of 10,000 elephants, he has locked us up in his house just as a lion captures sheep. Any questions or comments?
Maharaj, I have heard the devotee saying that the reason we have a material body, gross body, is because of our prarabdha karmas.
The reason we have a material body is because of?
Our prarabdha karmas.
Prarabdha. Yes,
so
current, that's right.
So, and the suffering or the happiness, whatever we get from the body, is because of that prarabdha karma. Then, when we hear from the Shastras that devotional service eradicates the prarabdha karma, that's it, then we should not have a material body. So, how do we understand this?
You don't have a material body. Did you know that? Yeah, you are the spirit soul.
Yeah.
Body is there, but you're not identifying with it. So a reaction has happened from before. But now you're free, you're getting the result of previous reaction. And then that is come. But because of that body, that reaction is going your whole life. When you come to the devotional service, then you, because you don't identify any longer, then you're free from the reactions coming your whole life. Understand? So in that sense, in the psychological sense, you're free, you're not identifying. Or do you expect the devotion, then all of a sudden your body will burn to ashes? No more. No, the karma will be gone, because the karma comes not only in the birth of the body, but it, you know how it's gone? There's two ways it's gone. Your whole life you're meant to get the karma because of this body. When you take up devotion, you're no longer identifying with the body, therefore that karma is gone. And not only that, the body is no longer karma because it's used for Krishna. And therefore the karma is gone. Understand? It doesn't have to be burnt. Why should it be burnt to ashes? Now you're using for Krishna, and put the karma is gone. This is the answer to your question.
We have to see
that. Not but. Not but. This is the answer. Yes.
So I just wanted to ask, someone's just a new devotee, they've just started chanting around, they live out of the temple, but they're still associated with normal devotees, and they do something like, you know, go to the races, and they say, well, I didn't gamble, but I helped everyone else do it, because they didn't know how to play the specs. So what sort of karma does someone that, I mean, they sort of act innocent, but at the same time you tell them constantly,
well, you have to use the share responsibility of that karma. You have to share some of the reaction because you're facilitating. It's like Prabhupada told us, meat eating, you know, those who eat the meat, those who, you know, have the cows and for using to kill them. All the butcher, those who eat, those who transport, you all have to share in the karma of that. So that's in the meat eating, and you know, for the gambling, you're just going there. Reaction. Of course, he's a devotee, so he'll get some reaction. He's a devotee. Who is it?
Oh, it's a person who just started fixing around, just sort of acting innocent, like, oh.
My bad habit's still going.
That's bad. I didn't know
that
was bad.
Well, that, you have to. It's understandable because they're new, so they don't know these things. I didn't. But still, I told the story before that I had a friend who became a vegetarian, but. He was a butcher. Sorry, he was a vegetarian butcher. So I said, it might be a better idea to look for another job. You have to get some, because it's not so a wholesome situation. There are some devotees in Indonesia asked me, Maharaj, I'm working in the bar of the hotel. I'm a devotee, but from before I was working there, serving, then I became a devotee, so I still have it. It's very good to be. I said, better get other job. Not so good. You're serving now. I'm not drinking, I'm just serving. So better to avoid that.
Bhagavad Gita is that verse in the 7th chapter which describes that one is purified of sinful reaction and has taken devotional service with determination. So, in what sense is that lack of purification, does it hold one back, or is it our attachment to it?
The sinful reactions?
Yes. In what sense is it?
Well, because, because some of those reactions are so severe that you're suffering so much. That's why when we come to Krishna consciousness, he's very kind, he eradicates that. Because your reactions are so heavy that it takes away the opportunity for engaging in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna being very kind to the devotees takes away those reactions, and then you can go without the encumbrance of reactions. So when all those are eradicated, then you can go very nicely. Krishna wants you to go very nicely, but if you have so much karma coming, then, you know, even though you may be sincere, because of your karma, you may be dragged here or dragged there. And if you're sincere, you'll still continue, but for those who are just not so strong devotees, they may be whisked away by those heavy reactions. So therefore,
so it's still possible to overcome it, but it makes it a bit
difficult. We have to be very strong devotees. So Krishna kind of takes away the way. But if you're a devotee, of course, they will be eradicated. Any other questions?
Yeah, talking about those who acted wisely in this life and previous life, you know, taking over the source of formation. Some prophets say something about who created that pious activity. And they asked them that question, is because of something, how is he qualified in prophets who have created that pious activity? In other words, he's
Sukriti, Gata Sukriti.
He's created that situation where we can actually take the risk of service by giving us some processes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to say that due to agyata sukriti, I mean, who knows what the situation of each individual is. Just by chance, they saw the devotee or they heard the kirtan, something like that. And that's called agyata sukriti, unintentionally. And so he said, I came to create like that, by spreading the Krishna consciousness. So this kind is spreading the Krishna consciousness, creating a favorable situation for people. So that is their sukriti, their kriti, or their sukriti. So creating, and then, you know, because of that, they have opportunity to engage further in devotional service, eradicate reactions, and develop love of God. Jai, all glories to the Prabhupada ki.
Holiness to my Swami ki.